What's the latest medical news, technology, and innovation to improve our well-being? Let's find out in this week's Health Check, brought to you by the Central Virginia Family Physicians Medical Group, online at cvfp.net.
And joining us now in the studio, Dr. Thomas Epps from CVFP. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Now, I got a text from you, it was last month, and you said, I'm at the AMA meeting, and I'm coming up with all kinds of good topics, and it was quite interesting, and we'll hear
The American Music Association, huh? Did you see Britney Spears or anyone there? Or Beyonce, possibly?
I can tell you the AMA can make some bad music at times.
So we're going to talk about some of those things that they were discussing.
Right.
But first, the right to try law. Earlier this year, President Trump signed this legislation aimed at helping people with deadly diseases try experimental treatments. And it's called Right to Try. And supporters say it's going to help thousands of people find hope. But opponents say it's dangerous. It might give patients false hope. A few weeks ago, we talked to Donna St. Clair, who had tried different black market drugs, if you will, to try to help her husband Bruce, who ultimately died from Alzheimer's disease. And at the end of the day, she said, "If I had it to do over again, I would stick with my primary physician." And I thought that was interesting. And so, your thoughts about the right to try law?
Well, in this day of age, there's a lot of information out there. And if anybody has any quasi-hope for a breakthrough with people that have diseases or conditions that are a dead-end street, that it is a reason for hope. The problem is that many of these things are still in investigation. If you try them, you have no idea what the long-term effect is going to be. One of the problems that you have with Right to Try is that you don't get people enrolled in experimental protocols that might actually do some things for you and might give us some real evidence about what works and what doesn't work. The other thing, it's on your nickel. That insurance companies will not pay for it. And the reason they don't pay for it is because it's not proven medicine. You'll be chasing down a rabbit trail on a lot of different things. Hope is an incredible curative thing, but there's one common thing all of us are going to have, and that we're all going to end up dying, and that is the end point for everybody. And that if you have somebody young like Donna's husband, who retired and then within a year started showing his Alzheimer's, it was devastating to them. To think that their retirement years were going to be consumed by his health, and that all the things that they wanted to do were not a reality at all.
So a patient comes to you and they say, look, I'm hearing about this, and say they've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, or a loved one has been, and they say, look, I'm hearing about this miracle drug, but it's not approved in this country. It's somewhere else. Can you help me get it? Is your first thought, well, first do no harm. Like this could do more harm to you in the short term, obviously. But it
right.
could, I mean, what's your response there?
Oh, my response would be very similar to what I just said to
mm-hmm.
you. We just don't know. What is where. I remember years ago, Laetril, that was people that were going to Mexico to get this. There are, unfortunately, a lot of people out there that do sham stuff, as this is a cure when it isn't a cure, but they will take your money in the process. You got to vet it out real well. Look for reputable company that's making the product, that I know some things are in some countries approved faster than this country. That's the standards that we have for approving drugs are pretty high. They've tried to loosen them up some so that you can get things quicker, but it's very difficult to look at somebody that wants to keep on living and say, you know, this the game is over, of that, you know, you have an opportunity to come to grips with whatever you need to come to grips with before dying.
And so I guess the other question here is how many people is this really going to affect? You'd have the idea that it's just tens of thousands or more across the country, but is that really true?
It depends on what the condition is. There are things that are rare, that, and there are things that that are common, and you just I don't know what the product is at any given moment. I know that people travel all over the world to get stem cells for whatever they want to do, and of unproven therapeutic uses of that substance.
Well, I'm not thinking more just about the conditions people have, but I mean, my understanding is a lot of the companies are not required to provide anything if they don't want to. And right. So they may not. They may say, look, we don't want to take a chance on what this will do if we haven't had trials. And you know, you'll have to be in a certain medical condition. It just seems like this is going to be a very small number of people who really are affected by the law with everything that goes into it.
I think what most people are looking at are things like chemotherapy drugs for cancer, of when all other means have been exhausted. But there are other some rare conditions that people can get, like muscular dystrophy, that took a long time to get recently a drug approved for that. I know I have a little 8-year-old that got put on one of those experimental drugs, but he got put through the Medical College of Virginia, or correction, VCU, MCV, and that he's like a unbelievably different kid because of this. But the therapies are incredibly expensive.
So that's my next question. You know, let's say you get a brand new cancer treatment. Let's say it costs $25,000 a month. I mean, insurance is not going to pay for that. I mean, I don't know that the companies can provide it free. I mean, it just seems that there's a fair amount of false hope here.
That it can be, but there are some real things that happen that are really amazing. So we don't know, and we just and it's moving into the unknown. If you can get those medications through a approved of experimental protocol, it's much more helpful to the medical profession, so that we might give with intelligence and be able to do things of not harming people in the way or minimizing harm in the way, and at the same time hopefully put people in a position so that they may one day be able to take something and be reimbursed for it.
And that's another thought, is that this is putting the pressure on these, you know, companies and the medical the researchers to bring these drugs to that experimental stage quicker.
It's always been this tension of bringing things to market fast enough, mm-hmm. but not too fast. That there have been some disasters with mm-hmm. medicines through the years.
And another thing Donna said in our conversation, in retrospect. And just to have kind of embraced the time you have left instead of fighting tooth and nail. And easy to say, you know, after the fact, and when you're not facing that situation, but it's something that you just said a little earlier.
It's always easy to go back mm-hmm. and second guess everything that you did. And in her case, they had a wonderful marriage together, were just an amazing couple. And it's difficult to look at when the person is alive going forward without that. And it's very easy in the retrospectoscope to look back and say, gosh, I could have done this. You only thing that I would ever say is that in a situation like that is if you're doing it in love, then you've done it for the right reasons, and so that would be of a thing to hold on to forever.
Now, you were at the American Medical Association meeting. One of the things that they were discussing was CBD oil.
Right.
Explain that.
Every AMA meeting I've been to, marijuana has been on the topic in one way or the other.
As long as it's on the table.
That's all right. And actually, CBD oil is now, quote, legal in Virginia, but illegal in the United States. So if somebody wants to get it in the state of Virginia, of that it can only be done in very restrictive ways. It is another one of these things that you would say this is the right to try because it is a clearly of it, it is a form of an extract that is used potentially for pediatric seizures. Of there may be other uses. We have no idea of about all the potential uses and also the potential disadvantages of that. Just like smoking has got multiple options out there that we should that may one day be very wonderful and it may not be very wonderful. Yeah.
Well, so what was the consensus on CBD oil? Do you say, hey, if it's legal in your state, prescribe it? Or, I mean, what was the...
Well, the consensus is that of there are more marijuana shops in Los Angeles than there are Starbucks. That tells you something about how frequent it is out there. And the CBD oil is trying to take an extract, a purative, and get it to something that might be useful and useful without people floating around high. It's the interesting to note, I read something recently that of the people that are addicted to the narcotics right now, that of almost every one of them used marijuana long before they went to narcotics. And that is, people used to call it an entry drug. That is probably what it is.
Do we know what percentage of people who smoke marijuana go on to use the hard drugs?
I have no idea. I have no idea about that number.
So it's something that you see as, I mean, they're working on it as far as the scientific benefits, but you think it's promising.
It obviously has effects, mm-hmm. and where effects are, that might be really wonderful. It also may be, again, going down a rabbit trail.
Mm-hmm. All right, what other things at the AMA?
Well, it's always interesting to see how social issues just flourish in the face of the AMA, and of one of the ones was gun control. And to listen to the debate on the floor about, they had 20-some things proposals about gun control. The wisest thing to do is to really study it so that you shed light and evidence on the situation. However, to hear people talk about what their kids are experiencing and the of what to do if a shooter's in school, it's horrifying for a young parent to have, mommy, we had this drill today, and that creates a lot of emotion. And then they start writing recommendation rules in which they have no idea what they're talking about. To learn, they talk about multi-chamber high velocity of weapons, and I'm sitting there going, okay, what's multi-chamber? Is 6? Is 10? Is 20? Who only knows? And then of high velocity. Well, a 22 rifle qualifies as a high velocity of gun. I grew up with that type of thing. So I think that there's much to be understood and much to try to understand with great evidence from that standpoint. They're always talking about the new things out there about how our government is trying to take care of health care in any of a number of ways which is challenging to say the least, because the explosion of the cost, especially the explosion of prescription medicines and the dollars and cents that people pay for those right now, and the really disaster that we have with high deductible plans, of which have gone from something that has been not very common to a very common thing, and how healthcare is the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States, and that you go in at the wrong place at the wrong time, you can, and you have a high deductible plan, you are paying for things for a long time.
Dr. Thomas Epps, fascinating as always. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And we will talk to you again soon. And you can find out more, Central Virginia Family Physician, CVFP.net.